3, 2, 1. Not as good as the first one. Okay. Welcome back to Drawing a Blank. I'm your host, Carson, here with host Sean. Eddie's still here somehow. Not sure how it happened. Tried to fire him. Didn't work. Tied up in the unions. It's a whole thing. Anyway, let's start out with a little bit of questing.
So, in terms of questing, I'm in a low place right now. Nobody to play Border Wolves with, and it's getting me bummed out.
Alright, well that's kind of fucked up, because I asked you if you wanted to quest last show, and then you just didn't answer, and then now you're saying you don't have anybody to play Border Wolves with.
I don't have anybody.
Well, okay. Ooh, well, this is awkward now. You're like, oh, does anyone want to play Border Wolves? And I'm like, hey, you want to play? And you're like, anybody? Anybody at all?
Ask Carson, anybody else?
As a quest master, I've even vouched to give people money to quest with me. Well, not technically, but kind of.
So you're offering to pay people rather than to just quest with me.
See, you kind of sell yourself short, Jar. You're not a great salesman. When you tell me that you're only a level 9 paladin, doesn't look good on the resume.
Room to grow, first of all. Second of all, paladins level up at a way slower level, okay? If anything, I'm overpowered for a paladin. Level 9? Are you kidding me? I'm probably going to level up to level 10 pretty soon once I do a few more quests. Well, which I probably would do if you invited me to quest every now and then, but you're not inviting me to quest.
Okay, Jar, I'm formally inviting you right now to come quest with me later tonight.
I don't need your pity quest.
Oh, well,
Eddie, you want to quest? Sounds like you need...
I mean, I would love to, but I don't really want to get involved in this little feud here. You know, soon enough, you know, if Sean or one of you gets feuds to the point that one of you gets kicked off the show, I might become a co-host. So
you know what? This is let's just take a pause real quick, Sean. This was obviously Eddie trying to create a wedge between us.
He's undermining. He's
undermining us.
I didn't bring it up. You guys brought it up.
He really thought that he could be that sly and get a co-host position.
He just tried to manipulate us. Are you kidding me?
Fucking Cersei Lannister over here.
Goddamn snake.
Okay, so now that we're back on the same page on hating Eddie and we can continue with the show.
Jar, we can quest tonight. I need a good quest.
I'm always down for a good quest, man.
Yeah,
I mean, dude, like you wouldn't want a level 9 paladin in your corner. Jesus Christ. That's just crazy talk. Protector of the realm.
Protector of the realm.
Anyway, so, talking questing. So, after last show, I got back into Pokemon Go. And, I'm experiencing some technical difficulties. And I don't want to blame my iPhone SE, because, that thing's a trooper. But I have not figured out how to augment reality. And my egg won't hatch. And I've gone on like 2 runs and like 3 walks, and my egg is just at 0 kilometers.
Well, first of all, let me tell you this.
So you have to keep the app open the whole time you do it?
I have it open in the background.
Maybe that's why.
Let me tell you this to start is, augmented reality in that, totally not worth it at all. It's just an extra battery drainer, so don't even mess with it if you don't have to.
If you have, like, a 10-year-old iPhone, probably not.
I bought it last summer. Okay,
bye. That's like buying a 10-year-old dog last summer and calling it a puppy. Not the same. It's still going to die in about 2 years.
Oh, God. Why do you have to go to puppy?
I thought they took my dog upstate.
It's going to be the same thing with the iPhone. They're going to take it to the Apple Store.
Oh God!
The Apple Store in the sky, the iCloud.
The iCloud.
That's where they all go. Oh,
so anyway, do you have any solutions though for my quest problem? Because I mean, I'm down to Pokemon. You know, I'm a level 6 trainer. I've been catching mad Pokemon. I restarted my game. I'm up to like 30 Pokemon now, you know, and I got an egg. You know, I'm a big egg guy, but I can't hatch it. I'm part of Team Breeder, mostly because I think it's dangerous to feature strong female role models in video games. So I picked the male team.
It's wise.
Obviously, naturally. I mean, that's just dangerous.
The irony that it's a breeder.
Congrats on the sex to all my Pokemon.
Wait, what team is that?
The yellow team.
Oof. Wow, that's low.
Yeah.
Yeah, Team Instinct.
Team Instinct. God.
What are you, Sean?
I'm the red team.
What are they?
Team badass team guys. I don't know. That's a good question, actually. I completely forgot that they actually have team names. So yeah. I chose my favorite color.
Yeah, I just picked the one with the dude, cause, you know.
I mean, that's definitely,
misogyny, kind of, you know.
Yeah.
It's definitely kind of gives you a, like you're technically a level 12 at that point then. For sure.
You guys gotta fit the gamer stereotype and be super misogynistic.
Yeah. Sean, you also, speaking of, you not wanting to quest with me, you didn't add me on, Pokemon Go. I sent you my trainer code and you never added me.
I don't know what you're talking about. I added...
You don't know what you're talking about. Oh! Yikes. That's awkward.
Yeah, this is...
What do you mean?
I didn't get both of your calls.
Yeah, I didn't even see your text that I responded to and said, awesome, I'll add you back.
I don't remember doing that.
Huh.
You didn't share it with me.
In your 10-year-old iPhone.
No, I texted you the number so you could enter it in.
You texted me the number, but you didn't add me.
Yeah, I did it so you could add me because I didn't have your number.
Well, I just added you, and now you have to add me.
Someone sent me a friend request.
So you didn't send me a friend request.
I didn't know how to do that, I'll be honest. I have you and Emma are my only friends on Pokemon Go. That's it. I'm actually feeling kind of lonely, so if any listeners out there would like to add me on Pokemon Go, please go ahead and do that. I'm feeling a little bit like Keanu over here.
Yo! That's my boy. Dude, it made me so depressed when I saw that, like, that thing about him. I was like,
Is that real or is it just memes? Is Keanu Reeves, like, a really lonely guy?
I don't know. I don't think he has any, like, family or anything.
I feel like we should fact check that. Eddie, go ahead and fact check that since you're the intern.
Jesus Christ. All right.
You know, speaking of John Wick, I've been playing Fortnite recently. It's not been going well at all.
Was I just frozen? It just said connection lost on my end.
Nah, you're good.
Is Keanu a lonely guy?
He had an estranged drug addicted father.
Oh.
Lost a baby and his girlfriend.
Oh.
Oh man, that's so depressing.
He really is John Wick. Oh my god.
Jesus Christ, man. Alright, well this is a pro Keanu Reeves podcast now.
Yo, shout out to Keanu. If he ever wants to come on, we'll be the boys.
Yeah?
Keanu, we'll be your best friends, man. I'll go to the firing range with you whenever you want.
Yeah, dude, hell yeah, that'd be fun. That dude can freaking, like, his stunt work, like, is awesome, man.
Hashtag, we want to be your friend Keanu. Trademarked, TM at the end of that hashtag. Anyway, Volkswagen just released a new ad campaign, so they are remaking the old Volkswagen minibus. You guys know what that is? That, like, old school van that, like, is associated with hippies?
Dude, Barrett wanted to get one of those for the longest time.
I remember
in high school, we went to, like, car shows looking for those things. I was there with Alex. Sean, do you remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember when Alex was obsessed with those? He wanted to trick it out and make it look like the goddamn Scooby-Doo mystery machine.
That's awesome.
What he wanted. That was, like, Alex's dream for, like, a solid, like, 2 years.
Yeah, so they're re-releasing, like, a new version of it for 2022, and it's fully electric.
Oh, wait, what?
It's fully electric. Yeah. Wow.
That's like a true hippie bus.
Yeah, and every charge is, like, 300 miles, and it's got, 400 horsepower or something. It's pretty legit.
It's literally keeping up.
Concert to concert.
It's kind of keeping up with the hippie thing where it's now it's going green.
Yeah, that's what I just said. It's a true hippie bus now.
So yeah, I agree. That was a great idea, Sean. Anyway, so my idea though was we're trying to move to LA at some point, right? But we can't afford rent. So if the three of us pool our money together, buy this new Volkswagen van, we can live out of there. And live on the Santa Monica Pier. We shower on the beach as homeless men, but we have a van.
We have a van. So we're like a step above.
We're van guys. We're not homeless. We're van guys.
Oh, imagine doing a podcast out of a van. That'd be tough.
That'd be pretty cool. Yeah, out of an electric van, not even a gas van.
We'd have to steal people's Wi-Fi.
No, we just use LTE. I'm pretty sure they give you phones for being homeless in LA.
What?
I'm pretty sure that's a thing. We'll also get a stipend. I know that's a thing.
One of us is going to have to work the night shift on the corners. I guess fine. I'll work the corner. I mean, I'm a little more petite. I'm not very flexible, so.
Hold on. Sidebar, Sean? Sidebar?
No, sidebar.
Why would we work any corner? We have an intern.
Do you really think we're going to? Come on.
We have an intern that we can't fire.
We just have to get him out there and get him set up, and then we'll break the news that none of us are doing that.
Okay, he's also on guard duty. I was thinking about buying a guard dog, but I think it's demeaning to have a dog have to live outside, so.
So we'll just kind of chain him to the radiator of the car.
So you and I will get the van. We'll sleep head to foot.
Yeah.
And then Eddie will live outside, chained to like a telephone pole.
Oh, a telephone pole, like at least 50 feet away from the van itself.
Yeah, but we'll give him like a cattle prod, and he can like set up a perimeter.
No, we don't give him a cattle prod. We have the cattle prod to keep him
awake in case he falls asleep on duty. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, sidebar's over. We're back. Okay, we got the logistics of this whole van guy
thing. Yeah. Don't worry, it's gonna be a sick setup ever.
Yeah, you're gonna love the van.
Well, it's gonna look good.
You'll definitely get to go for a ride in the car every night.
Right. Okay.
Guys, let's talk science for a little bit.
What science do you want to talk, Sean?
No. We don't want to talk science with Sean.
No, this is a science segment with Dr. Sean Thomasitis. I have the glasses on. It's official.
Son of a bitch.
So.
We're really falling down some rabbit holes that we do not want to be falling down.
It's all Sean's fault.
New in science.
God damn it.
Here we go.
There is three signs that indicate biopharma is facing compressive.
Your glasses are up. You don't have to. You don't have to hold it.
Bio homes cookies. That's just
what
something.
Are you saying? Can you not read?
I don't think he can read with the glasses on. I think those are real glasses. And
Those are my old glasses. Those are the ones that I wore to school the first day, and you went. God, those make you look so ugly.
Yeah, and I laughed in your face for 5 minutes.
And then you said, no, it's just noise coming from an ugly scientist when I tried to talk. You did the whole bit from The Office, word for word.
Yep, and I laughed in your face for like 10 straight minutes.
Yeah.
And I was the first person you saw that day.
Yeah, it was pretty hurtful.
Real confidence builder.
I was feeling real great about myself the rest of that day.
Yeah, I'm sure. Do we have any science with Sean?
Yeah, of course. So, recent discovery, radiation is being condensed back into a liquid. In other news, there's no land, under Antarctica. It's just a giant iceberg. This comes straight from my sources.
Sean,
are these anonymous sources?
One of them is Eddie Thomasitis.
Sean, I'm going to kill you.
Who claimed that we can't look for oil under Antarctica because there's no land under it?
Is that true? Was that something that you claimed?
That is something that he claimed.
Eddie is shaking his head yes in shame.
No, that is not true.
He said...
This is a thing that Alex and Sean...
No. You claimed that was your one goof. Eddie goofed. He said there's no land under Antarctica.
I didn't say there was no land under there. I said, what are you going to do, drill into the ice? I didn't mean that there was no land there.
All right, well, let's fall down this rabbit hole with Eddie. Senior science expert Eddie. So if there's no land under Antarctica, then what is it?
I didn't say there was no land.
Is it floating? So, is it heavy enough that it's... Is there an anchor? Is there a giant anchor?
Well, so water... ice has a different density. That's why it floats. So I'm wondering, does Antarctica move? Like with the
waves?
That's
what I'm saying. I think there's a giant...
But it's so big that it's probably just like a slow move.
There's, so like, there's like a chain. There's a giant chain that was built by the ancient Mesopotamian Antarcticans.
It's just
and anchor, they had to swim down to the bottom and build each link to connect Antarctica.
I don't think you understand how an anchor works, but we've established scientifically that Antarctica is anchored to the bottom of the ocean.
Yes, yes.
You realize though, whenever you anchor a ship, that's not people going down and building chains.
Well, to make this great anchor, the Egyptians had to call up the Mesopotamians and be like, "Yo, this glacier is about to hit us, bro." Like in about 100 years, somewhere in that ballpark. And
You know what? This is a dumb bit.
Is Antarctica just Megatron frozen in the ocean?
So is this a Decepticon plan? Did they make Antarctica?
All right. Well, as a anyway, as someone who's pretty woke on this whole thing.
Okay. So anyway, back to that part about radiation, though. I just watched Chernobyl. You guys got to get on that.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about Chernobyl probably either Tuesday or next Friday. We'll watch it and talk about it. We also have to talk Barry at some point.
Radiation is the scariest thing ever. Radiation poisoning is the worst way to die.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
That show is so well done, well shot. Like, the acting is great, the writing's amazing. It's unbelievable. And the fact that it actually happened is shocking and appalling.
Well, have you seen, like, all of the... There are, like, pictures and stuff from people. They'll do, like, tours over in Chernobyl, and you can see, like, all the abandoned buildings and stuff like that. It literally looks like, you know... It's like a full-fledged city that just, like, nobody lives in. It's terrifying.
It's inoperable. You still can't go there because it's over 100 years for the half-life of the radiation.
Yeah, well, they do guided tours through parts of it. I mean, I don't know why you would do it because you'd absolutely get sick and probably, like, dude, the amount of cancer you can get, like, being too close to anything that's radiated is insane.
Yeah.
So I don't know what kind of maniac is doing tours through Chernobyl, but I know they're,
It's still radiated.
Oh, yeah. No, like
you will
get
sick. People are still not allowed to live there. I can't believe they would do tours through it if you're not actually allowed to live there.
Yeah, but they do, and there are people stupid enough to actually take those tours.
There's no way that they do real tours through that.
Look it up. It's a very real thing. You can take a tour through Chernobyl. Now, I doubt they're taking you, like, through the plants or anything like that.
No shit.
But, like, you can take a tour through Chernobyl. It's crazy.
That's freaky, man.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, that's where all the images come from, online, because people have gone through and taken images.
That's funny.
Yeah, but there's also, like, all the footage that they show at the end, you see the guy hold up the Geiger counter, but he's in a full suit, and even the Geiger counter is in plastic. Like, they still go in with suits, so, that with that, like, hazmat suits and stuff.
Dude, and even that's, like, not safe.
Yeah.
Like, realistically, that only does so much, you know?
No, it really doesn't do much. Unless you're, like, covered in lead, and even then.
Even that, it's like, yeah. All right, so, next on the agenda, Men in Black. So, there's a new Men in Black movie coming out, Men in Black International. Been a lot of ads going on with current NBA players.
The ad campaign is great, but I don't think the movie's going to be very good.
Sean, what about you? You got any thoughts on Men in Black International?
I'm just hoping that it's just gonna be just a fun, action movie. Nothing too crazy.
I mean,
it's going to lean heavily on the performances of Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson. They're gonna be, like, the main reason people go to see it, because they have great chemistry, they're funny, but I don't think the movie itself is going to be good. I think it's going to rely on them to even be entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, when I first, like, heard they were doing it, I was absolutely not interested. But with all the ad campaign stuff with, like, Chris Paul and, like, Russell Westbrook and all that, I mean, all of those have been awesome. And then, like, the Game of Thrones one where they did the memory erase after, which episode was it? Was it when they burnt down all of King's Landing or something?
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, that was awesome. So, yeah. Like, my thing is, like, the ads have been so amazing. And
yeah,
I love
well,
those two together.
That means that the movie is probably subpar. They never expected Deadpool, I would say, would be like the exception.
Ed, go ahead and repeat that, because you just lagged a shit ton, and I'll cut it out.
Okay, so I think it might be a bad sign that they're pushing so hard with the ad campaign, because it might mean that they're expecting the movie to fail, and so they're really trying to push it, hoping that they get at least a really good opening weekend before it fizzles out, because it might not be that good. The only exception to that rule would be something like Deadpool, or like, which had but that's just the character. They're just selling that character. Like Ryan Reynolds just being Deadpool and being funny. Like that's that whole ad campaign. That's great.
And well, I think
it fits within the character being a fourth wall breaker. You know what I mean? But most of the time when they over-advertise a movie, it means that they probably know that it's not that good.
Well, the only thing I would say to that, though, is, like, Deadpool, the thing is that, like, it's associated with, like, Wolverine Origins. So I think that's why they had to push it so hard. So not even that the movie wasn't good, but the association with a lot of fans.
Well, no. I think they were afraid that it was a rated R movie and they wouldn't get enough people to see it.
Yeah.
But also, Deadpool's whole shtick is that he breaks the fourth wall and it makes pop culture references.
Yeah.
So it fits within his character to do stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Any other time when a movie is like, when they're over advertising, a lot of times it means that the studio probably knows something that we don't and really is hoping that has a strong opening weekend to at least make the money back.
Yeah.
So
if you see Men in Black and they don't see Will Smith, they're probably like, oh shit. But at the same time, like, I think Tessa Thompson and Chris Hemsworth are going to be the best part of the movie, but I think everything else may fall short.
Well, so that was my thing though, right? Is that the last two Men in Black movies, well, Men in Black 3 is alright. Men in Black 2 is terrible though. Like, you know, they're not like great movies. Like the first one's the only like great movie, you know? So
yeah.
That could also be the association that they're fighting where it's like, this is a long-standing, this is a long-standing franchise that's kind of gotten stale, you know? So like when I heard there was a Men in Black International, I wasn't excited at all until the ad campaign. And
see,
now
I'm kind of like, I might
actually go and see this.
I wasn't interested when I heard about it until I saw that Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson were in it.
Yeah.
Because they were so funny in Thor Ragnarok.
Sean, are you all right over there? You've been flailing your arms for five minutes.
I have an emergency update. So if we could just hop back to Borderlands.
Okay. Hop back to Borderlands.
For just a quick sec.
What's happening?
I just read this article stating that Borderlands 2 is about to get a new free DLC June 9th to lead up to Borderlands 3. It was leaked on Steam just the other day, called, let me see, it's like the fight for Sanctuary, Commander Lilith and the Fight for Sanctuary. So apparently, I guess that was supposed to be a little bit of a surprise for people, but apparently it got leaked via Steam. It was actually advertised on Steam before it was taken down.
Mm-hmm.
That's just very interesting news to me because we haven't heard. Borderlands has been keeping tight wraps on all of their stuff. We didn't hear about Borderlands 3 for like years until they released those trailers literally, what, one month ago? And that's just like 5 months before their game comes out. I feel like so many games nowadays, it's like, they send out a trailer, like, years ago, and then they keep, like, teasing people with different trailers and different, until, like...
Well, what a lot of them, A lot of them do like a really great cinematic trailer, and then the game comes out years later and the whole gameplay dynamic and everything is totally different than what they first marketed it as.
That happens all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
EA Anthem? Oh my god.
What was the new game that they, was that the newest game they put out with Anthem?
That game bombed. Bombed.
Dude, everybody knew it was gonna bomb though, because it was after like five EA games in a row that were just riddled with microtransactions, and nobody wanted anything to do with it anymore. Dude, they're saying EA, which is like, you know, 10 years ago, or, no, it's more than 10 years ago, shit. Original Xbox days was like king, right? Pre-360, EA was the law. And now they're saying they might fail. Because they're losing a ton of money after all this microtransaction stuff. So people don't want to play their games.
Stop. And they push out games. Are constantly pushing out games so early. Eddie, it's kind of like what you were just saying about the movies, how they advertise the crap out of these things, and then it comes out and it's like, well, that was shit.
EA probably spends more on their ad campaign and their marketing than they do on the games.
And
they force them out unfinished.
Yep.
Yeah.
For failure.
I mean, the worst example of that was the first Star Wars Battlefront by DICE. Dude, it had four maps. Four. And the DLC wasn't
no
free.
Campaign. There's no campaign, and they couldn't even do four.
No campaign, four maps, the DLC wasn't free. You had to pay for the extra maps. It was like $60 for the full pass, so it's like this is a $120 game to get the full game. Really?
It's ridiculous. That's why I'm, once again, very much have a bias in this, but I am so excited for the new Borderlands. It is unreal. They're advertising. They put out a few trailers every time they have a game, and the trailers, first of all, are always funny and awesome and badass all in ones.
Yeah.
And then it's like, boom, here's the game. And it's like, oh shit. That's awesome. Well,
dude, I feel like though, I'm kind of excited, but like the recent like slew of games hasn't been very good. Like the new Fallout, what was it, Fallout 76 or whatever?
Oh yeah, that tanked.
That tanked, dude. Like all the games coming out nowadays, and that's Bethesda. Bethesda makes good games. It's not like EA where it's like it's been a trend. It's like that's a Bethesda game. You know, it's like, so the way that things have been going, every single sports game that came out this year has like a 1-star rating. You know, the way that games are going right now, like I'm
Bethesda also had, I'm gonna diss it because I didn't like it, was Elder Scrolls Online. I thought,
oh my god,
in such a terrible direction. First of all, the graphics in it, or just the art style, not the graphics, the art style in it looked so corny and so, like, Skyrim was so badass and like.
Elder Scrolls Online looks like World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Like, when World of Warcraft launched. And it pissed me off, too, because you remember how excited we were to quest that?
Yeah.
And I basically got the Game Pass to play Elder Scrolls Online. And then I think I was on the phone with you when I made my character, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
The combat is turn-based.
That was another one with a sick ad campaign.
Oh, the cinematics for that were insane.
Yep. Oh, my God, yeah.
Totally. That got me so hyped for that game. I was like, this is going to be Skyrim with more things to do, and you're online. I was like, this is going to be awesome. I saw the first gameplay for it, and I was like, bro, what?
So that one they, like, licensed out to, like, a third-party game developer. That's, like, not even really a Bethesda game.
I hate when they do that. See, that's so what is considered to be the worst Borderlands game, which was Borderlands the pre-sequel, not that it was terrible, but the writing in it just was, like, you could tell it's, like, these jokes don't hit, like, Borderlands 1 and 2, where it was, like, you know, real quip, like smart, quippy, funny dialogue. It was like really stupid, blunt in your face, like comedy.
Low hanging fruit type comedy.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
This is just, you're forcing this so much. I mean, the only one who really carried that game through dialogue was Handsome Jack, cause that dude just has charisma about him that's like, you can't mess that up and he can't ruin that no matter what he says. But, that was when it was made by like 2K Australia, like some branch. It wasn't even like, it was like, and so even the jokes were like, it was just weird. It wasn't like, you know, the humor that people could all jump on board on. But that's why I'm so excited for Borderlands 3, because it's going to be, it looks so Borderlands 2, the setting, the characters we have back, it's just everything I think I'm excited for.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely kind of excited and doing research for our first episode when we first talked about it. But, like, again, though, it's, like, the way games are going lately, like, what's probably the franchise we've all played, like, significant minutes on? Even Eddie. Halo, right? We've all grinded Halo. The new Halos suck. They suck. Like, I didn't even bother playing more than, like, the first two levels of 5. 4, I quit like halfway through. It's like all the new Halos make me want to do is play the Master Chief
Collection. You guys see the thing? They said the new Halo is like a soft reboot. I don't know what the fuck that means. I don't know what does that mean in terms of like
Halo Infinite?
Yeah.
Infinite.
Interesting.
I mean, I would assume that would mean we have the Covenant coming back. But
I don't know what they're doing with the Halo. Like, I really don't understand. Like, what? Okay, they were like, oh, they want more Master Chief, so we're just gonna scrap the whole storyline that we're doing now. Like, why? Just do another. Like, if you want to do like, because what it looks like is like an open world multiplayer game, then why stick with the Master Chief? Halo Reach did great, and it had nothing to do with him. Do you know what I mean?
If you're gonna go that direction, you were the rookie.
Probably because we don't want to be left with Master, like a bad taste in our mouth with Master Chief.
Yeah, but then go and finish the freaking franchise and just make sure that you play as Master Chief and not freaking Locke for
half. They already ruined it. Halo 4 and 5 were such wastes of games.
That's what I mean. Stop. I don't even want a reboot. I just want, okay, if you're gonna go multiplayer.
Like, tell me something about the Didact that you guys got from that game.
Literally nothing. The only thing I remember from that game is that there are a group of people called the Flashlight People that you have to fight, and that's all I remember.
Exactly. That's the plot.
You fight Flashlight People.
And Flashlight Dogs. Don't forget them.
And their faces open up in their skulls.
Maybe Flashlights. And we all know what we do with them.
Oh.
Oh, God. All right. But, yeah, dude, like, I don't know. It's just so bizarre to me too, because like I would say it's Bungie, right? But then like Destiny, no, I would say it's Bungie leaving, right? So Bungie not working on Halo anymore is what I would say the problem is. Except that like Bungie's making the Destiny games, and like unless you're like a hardcore gamer like Sponge, like Destiny's kind of lame.
If Destiny, oh my god, I don't know. I played through Destiny quite a bit actually with some friends. Not like hard. I didn't go hard in that game. I couldn't. It wasn't that. Yeah, I don't know. That was such.
Didn't something new just come out for it though? Because my friend Jameson literally wouldn't hang out with me yesterday because he was like, "No, dude, the new Destiny thing just came out."
It's so bad. It's so bad. Destiny does the same thing that kind of EA does, where they release an unfinished campaign that's really, really bare, it's really boring, you don't even really care for it that much. And then they put out DLCs, which are better than the actual game. They put out DLCs that have their own stories that are better than the actual game. They have quests that are more fun and bosses that are more fun to fight. The first Destiny released, this one, they released like a few big ones. And each one was like really cool, it had like a cool story that you could follow, but it was like, why wasn't this the game that I was playing earlier? I couldn't tell you what Destiny 1's story was. Like, I really couldn't. Now, I remember in the DLC, when I was fighting, like, the goddamn Forsaken King or whatever his name was, and, like, you killed his son, and he's, like, this big boss now, and it was like, oh, like, this is dope. But you had to pay an extra $40 for it. It was like, what?
I mean, the only thing that I know about Destiny, so Sponge, friend of the show, my former roommate would play it like all the time, right? And he's like a competitive Destiny player. And just watching it, it seems like a game that's geared towards like people who are like, I don't want to say professional gamers, but I would say Sponge is somewhere in like the semi-pro realm, right? So he's ranked somewhere in the Destiny world. And I think those are the guys who it's geared toward.
Yeah,
right?
No, my friend Jameson is the same way. Like he's a hardcore gamer.
Yeah, and it's like,
hardcore, yeah.
You know, if that's you, cool, but it's like, it's not a game that, like, any of the three of us, I think, would, even Sean, who's like, you know, obviously a much higher level than I am, I'm a level 9 paladin.
Shut the fuck up.
I got lots of mana, I got mana to spare, so, trying to cast some spells, hit me up.
Now for me, like, I'm not really a gamer. I'm a film guy. So, gameplay mechanics are cool, but ultimately the things that get me into games are really good campaign, like, story modes.
See, I'm the opposite. So I turn off the volume whenever I play a game. I'm just super casual, right? So that's why, like, I love Nintendo games, right? So, like, I love playing, right now I'm playing Pokemon Yellow, right? I love that because it's just, like, I can just mindlessly go walk around or like, playing Mario 64. Or even, I just beat Star Fox 64 last night for, like, the third time. And it's, like, that kind of game, it's, like, I can just pick it up and play. You know, obviously, like, that's a game that I've played forever, so I'm, like, kind of good at it. So I can do different things in it, but it's, like, I've been playing that game since I was, like, 6. Like, it's accessible.
See, you know, I would only play a game like that if I'm playing against my friends. If I wanted to sit down and casually play a game by myself, I have to play something that has, like, an investment in, like, a story or characters.
Yeah, so
playing, like, one game, I only play it really, like, with my friends, like, against each other.
So I feel like you're more of, like, a Telltale game type of guy, where it's, like, very heavy on story, not very involved.
Yeah, if I play video games, I would probably do those a lot.
They're fun, yeah.
I'm a nice in-between there, because I love a story, but I also like the,
gameplay mechanics are still huge.
Well, but the thing with you, Sean, though, is, like, you're definitely a higher class of a quester than we are, though. Like, you actually, like, can hold your own online. Like, I go online and I get killed 25 times and people laugh at me and then I get kicked out of the game.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way, dude. I suck online. But, like, a game like Arkham, like the Arkham games, dude, I played those and Halo are probably the two games that I've spent the most time playing, like, ever. Those Arkham games, oh my god, I loved being Batman. It was so fun.
Yeah.
You know, the gameplay mechanics are amazing, the story's great, but then you can also just go around and free roam and stuff. And whereas, like, I get why people love those games, because, like, Skyrim and stuff, but Skyrim's not my genre. I like Batman, so I was like, oh yeah, I'll do this and free roam and find all the little Batman Easter eggs and, like, fight guys and do all the cool missions.
So you,
like,
might
Skyrim, I wouldn't be able to do it because I'm just not into the medieval stuff.
See, I don't know.
Sorry, go ahead, Sean.
I don't know how much time I've poured into games like Skyrim and Borderlands 2. Borderlands 2, I used a whole year at least of my life just sitting there mindlessly playing that. Just because the story I could play over and over and over, and I find more stuff, more, like, hidden bosses, hidden loot. And, you know, I love just having Jack's voice in my ear the whole time, you know, tell me to, you know, that I should be, you know, I should go jump off a cliff or, like, some shit like that, you know. It was just funny stuff.
Yeah, I mean, my thing with games like Skyrim, though, I have a big problem with open world games, which is that I get super overwhelmed and don't feel like doing the quests, because it's, like, it's a lot of, like, walking around to the different quests. Like, even if you have fast travel, you still gotta, like, I don't know, it's a pain in the ass. So I find myself in Skyrim, right? So my character's name is Marlo Giantslayer, and pretty much I just play the game for the mammoth cheese. I'm a big mammoth cheese guy. So I pretty much just walk around killing giants and collecting mammoth cheese. I'm a level like 80 archer. All of my other things are like in level 20s. And holy shit, do I have some mammoth cheese, guys. And Marlo Giantslayer eats it and he enjoys it.
Well, let me tell you this. So
you probably have some serious gastrointestinal problems.
Oh yeah, I mean, that's some thick cheese. I mean, it's like yellow looking too. It does not look appetizing. That's how he sustains himself.
So for me, when it came to Skyrim, every time I played it, I would try to find something different that I can do to, now not only does that mean, like, changing up, like, I'm gonna be an orc who, like, dual wields, you know, axes the whole time, or a thief that uses a dagger. I would change things, like, my most recent gameplay, my most recent playthrough, I was an archer, but I took off my entire HUD, so I didn't have, like, a crosshair or anything, So I had to learn where to aim with the arrow and the bow without using, like, anything. And that made the game 100 times more fun for me. So much more fun.
Really immersive, like, right?
Yeah, like, it made, and, like, I stopped using fast travel. And it was,
see, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, Charles playing this like it was Game of Thrones.
Yeah, like, it makes the game, like, 100 times more enjoyable.
Have you thought about investing in Skyrim VR at all?
I have, and I've so badly want the price to drop, because it's been sitting at $60 for so long. Even if it's like 45, that'd be nicer. I mean, I'm working now, so I might invest in it, but first, I think this week I'm going to pre-order Borderlands the Deluxe Edition.
Yeah.
Which is $100. And then from there, I'll just be looking into stuff, so.
All right, so Sean, do you want to lead us into Star Wars then? As, Kylo Ren?
Yeah, that sounds terrible. So.
Especially not as bad as you'd think it would be.
It sounds awful in my headphones.
Did Disney ruin Star Wars?
He sounds like a guy on like that's under, what the fuck is it?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Did Disney ruin Star Wars is what I said.
So anyway, just kind of to lead us into this a little bit. So, I tried watching Solo, which was the latest installment from Disney into the, Star Wars Extended Universe, if I think that's what they call it now. But anyway, it's not part of like the Skywalker, storyline. It's just like a spinoff just following Han Solo. And I fell asleep like 15 minutes in. I was bored shitless. It was kind of annoying. So I want to ask, did Disney ruin Star Wars?
Yes.
I mean, George Lucas already kind of ruined it himself.
I mean, yeah, so the prequels are bad. The prequels are bad, but like...
There was no need. Nobody was asking for more Star Wars movies.
Well, but my thing is, like, at least the prequels were, like, different, and they didn't just rehash everything that we've already seen.
Okay, I wish if they're making new Star Wars movies, they didn't try to go back and ruin the good ones.
Right? Like putting in Rogue One to add this weird, even more plot holes to the storyline.
I don't know. I didn't mind Rogue One. I can't lie.
I only liked one scene in the whole movie. And they ruined, and again, why does Mads Mikkelsen get cast in the most bullshit roles? This dude is one of the phenomenal actor. And for some reason, whenever he's in a big Hollywood movie, they use him as like a bit part.
Well,
that guy should have been the damn villain of the movie.
Well, the thing with that movie is that he might have had a bigger role, but they did significant reshoots before. Like, if you go back and watch the old trailers for it, almost none of those made the actual cut. They overhauled the entire movie. So, like,
yeah, you're right.
What's his name? Was it Forrest Whitaker who played the rebel? Yeah. Dude, he was supposed to have, like, a major role in the full movie and was supposed to be, like, young throughout the whole
movie. Yeah, apparently Gareth Edwards shot, like, the whole thing, and then they went back and reshot 40% of it with someone else.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it was a completely different movie. So there's a bunch of stuff like that. So, like, Mads might have had, like, a way more significant role.
But that wasn't really my... Like, if anything, I don't think that was, like, the problem with it was that Mads...
No, I'm just saying that was just like a small little thing that bothers me in general. But that movie, literally the only good scene in it was his monologue and Darth Vader at the end.
Yeah. I mean, even still though, like, Darth Vader at the end cutting everyone up kind of felt weird though, because then when you go and watch him at the beginning of A New Hope, and he's not doing all this cool shit. It's like, all right, well, you kind of had me bought in on the fact that he couldn't do this sort of stuff anymore.
Oh, now he can, but he had all his men go in first.
Yeah, but like, dude, it's just annoying, right? Seeing Darth Vader do all these force tricks that like he can't do in the original movies.
Yes, he can.
You never see him do them.
Dude, he chokes out everybody constantly.
Yeah, he chokes out everybody, but dude, he came in there and cut up like 12 dudes. Never see him.
Right, I'm sorry, but
he's trying to get...
I have to totally disagree with you, because I thought that was one of the best scenes in one of the all of Star Wars.
Yeah.
You're finally seeing Darth Vader's potential fully shown. You know that Darth Vader is one of the most badass, most, you know, powerful villains, you know, created. You never get to see him use his full power. And finally, like, we have the...
Okay, time out. We never get to see him use his full power on soldiers. Because the lightsaber battles in 5 and 6 are actually really good.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but Darth Vader in all those movies walks around like he's freaking Forrest Gump with his legs in the braces, right?
Yeah, and
he's got no knees.
That tunnel in the same exact manner when he was killing
them. Yeah, it's not like he was like jumping around doing flips and stuff. He was still Darth Vader.
Yeah, I don't know. I just felt like the way that it... The other things that really bothered me with that movie, though, speaking of how it, like, transitioned, was, like, what was his name? Tarkin? The CGI Tarkin?
Oh, CGI like, Tarkin was bad.
It's like, dude, just don't include them. Just CGI, leave them out of the movie.
CGI Leia, also unneeded.
Horrible. Dude, it's like,
why did she have to turn towards the camera in a close-up?
Yeah, we couldn't have just
I totally bought it when she was away from the camera, and he goes,
you see the
Princess
back of her
Leia.
Head.
And hands her the thing, and then she has to turn to the camera and say that cheesy line.
It was terrible. It's terrible. It fucking.
Which also that line, the way she says it, totally clashed with what happens in the very next scene in A New Hope. They're still under attack.
Yeah.
She should have gotten that thing and been like, "Let's get out of here."
Yeah.
Because that was her urgency. That was Carrie Fisher's like performance in the very next film. In the beginning, is urgent.
They're under attack, and she needs to get the message, like, off the ship.
Yeah, she's not like, we have hope, we won. No.
Yeah, yeah. it's like, absolutely not.
Got what we needed, let's get out of here.
But that's the thing, is freaking Disney has made Star Wars into, like, a feel-good franchise, which it shouldn't be. The original three, even the prequels are not feel-good movies. Like, they're super cringe, but it's like, they're kind of fucked up. You watch Anakin Skywalker... cut through a bunch of younglings. And
well,
shit like that.
Suggested. But no, Revenge of the Sith is definitely the darkest of all the movies.
I would say the only one that maybe teeters on, like, friendly, whatever, you would say 5?
6.
You think Empire? I was going to say, yeah, with the Ewoks.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Empire's the darkest one.
I thought you were saying the other darkest film.
That was such a convenient lag.
No, I thought you were saying the other darkest film that would compare to Revenge of the Sith, and I said 5, because they lose.
No, I'm saying, like, so Disney now has made it, like, really, like...
Family-friendly.
Family-friendly, yeah. And I would say, like, the original Star Wars, even if you don't like the prequels, and especially the original trilogy, were not family-friendly. And I would say maybe the only ones would be Phantom Menace a little bit.
Phantom Menace, definitely, it was meant to market toys.
Because of Jar Jar and young Anakin, but still nothing is as family friendly as Rose. And saving the animals on a top secret mission. It's like, dude, your entire rebel army was just decimated. And the last of you are on a spaceship, you're running out of oxygen, and life support's fading, and you're about to all be blown up. And what the fuck are you gonna do? You're gonna try to save the goddamn animals at this horse track? Or alien horse track? Are you shitting me, Rose? They give you one job. Nobody even wanted you to come on this mission, first of all. You just kind of barged in and
that
said...
That whole mission should have been a Poe, and it should have been Poe Dameron, not her.
Oh my god, yeah, because Poe and Finn is like the dynamic that like we grew to love from the previous
Poe
movie.
Poe and Finn is the buddy cop film in Star Wars that we want.
Oh yeah, it's like Luke and Han.
And let That's me tell you,
no, it's better. It's more of like a buddy cop type thing they got going.
Let me tell you, Rose, that one scene, I could have swore it was straight out of the prequels, when Finn looks like he's about to make this epic sacrifice to save his people. He's going into the goddamn laser like a G. Like, I'm about to sacrifice my life and save the rebellion like I was born to do. And then this bitch sideswipes him. Sideswipes him.
And says,
nearly kills herself to stop him from killing himself to save the goddamn last of the rebels. And then goes over to him. He goes, why'd you do that? She goes, because...
What was the line? It was says, something ridiculous.
She says, you don't win wars by killing the enemy, but by saving the ones you love. How are you going to kill... How are you going to save the ones you love? How are you going to save the ones you love if they're about to get goddamn death lasered as the last of the goddamn empire? What?
And there's no way she knew Luke Skywalker was coming either.
He went in for a kiss that I'm sure even the actor John Boyega didn't even see coming by the look of it.
Yeah, no, it looked like he was shocked.
He was like, nah, I got Rey, a goddamn Jedi I'm trying to hit.
Yeah, not, that baddie back there.
Not your ass. I was like, oh my god, she did not do that.
I have two things with that scene, right? Two things. So, first of all, dude. Only two? What?
Only two?
Only two. Only two. I'm going to keep it short. Okay. First of all, there's no way anybody knew that Luke Skywalker was going to show up, too. So that was their...
They thought they were goners.
In everybody's mind, that was their one shot, right? And, dude, like... Literally, it's like, they're all goners if he doesn't get to the laser. He's the only one who gets through. You literally just watch your entire squadron die, except for somehow Rose. Dude, the frickin' tech lady, who wasn't even like, dude, she was working in the frickin' trash compactor or some shit, and all of a sudden she's on the front line? Who gave her a spaceship? We have a trained army, and we're just like, oh yeah, let's let the lady who, I guess she saved all the horse monsters, so I guess we'll give her a card. It's like, what the fuck? We're trusting that lady. Second of all, dude, Star Wars would have actually given Finn, like, a good ending. That would have been
a great way.
It would have been a complete arc. It would have been great. A great way to end his character. It would have been super emotional, you know, and, like, we have Rose save him, but, like, also in that moment, everybody in the theater's like, wait, so she did this without knowing that Luke Skywalker was going to come and save everybody. So she basically just tried to kill everybody.
Yeah, now, what would have been a proper way to do this is Finn's going into this, Balakley's going to die, we're all sad. Rose knocks him out. She doesn't go out with him, though. She goes, boom, right back into the path of the laser. Boom, shoots. She takes the laser hit. Finn lives. Everybody's happy. Rose is gone.
That actually would have made me like Rose more, too, because yes. Like, I would have been, like, as so annoying as she was.
I would have liked Rose if she did
You know that. What? You know why? You know, it would have redeemed her. Why it would have been cool? It's because her sister sacrifices herself in the beginning of the movie to destroy that one fighter.
That would have given her a meaningful arc, and we would have gotten to keep Finn.
It would have made the whole storyline with the other half of the moon mean more, too. Because they had, like, the necklaces that connect it. It would have made that mean more. Because it's like she freaking, like, believed in the cause as much as her sister did.
And then they all ride out on horse
aliens. Sean, you're right.
It's amazing how many times Rose almost killed all of them. She derailed the mission that they were all banking on to go save the freaking horse monsters. And then Finn is about to save the day and give them another, like, chance to, like, stand on their hill. And then she freaking almost kills them all again. It's like, why have they not just, like, gotten rid of her?
Okay, you guys have seen Endgame, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did it right.
Make sure you warn for spoilers, too, if you're going to spoil anything.
Okay, well, you know what I'm talking about, the scene. They did it right. The right way.
Oh, yeah, no.
Or one of them actually did die.
There's something to be said about giving a character, like, a proper ending, right? It's like, dude, as much as we love these characters, it's like, you know, we'd rather, like, give them, like, a proper death and, like, send them off right than frickin' drag them out and have
them.
Yeah. I mean,
really? Honestly, okay. You know what pisses me off about that movie the most, though? Is how many great things were in it that they didn't follow through on.
Like what? Go on. I mean, I kind of know what you're talking about, so, for the audience.
Okay, so first of all, if they cut out all the side plots and focused on Finn, or not Finn, if they focused on Rey and Luke and Kylo Ren.
Yeah, I mean, that was the most interesting part of the whole thing.
Those types of scenes, I was totally engaged in the film. I was like, okay, this stuff is cool. And they're discovering the new Force connection, and like that stuff was like really cool. And the fact that they were like, screw the light side and the dark side, we gotta find an in-between.
Yeah.
And the fact that they set up that Rey was drawn to the dark side, They set up all these things, and then by the end of the movie, we're like, nah.
Well, here's the thing that I'm really worried about.
All these really interesting concepts that Star Wars has never done before. All these really great things. And then by the end of the movie, went back to, no, we're going to settle back into the stuff that we know.
What if we could have finally seen Rey take on that, like you were saying, that in between, like the Mace Windu Jedi type?
Where it's like she channels the dark side?
Yeah, where she can channel through the dark side, but is ultimately. So dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like, they pushed it to that point and then decided to, like, back out of it at the very end of the movie. We're too afraid to do that.
Well, here's the thing that I find really weird, right? So, the first new Star Wars, so episode 7, Force Awakens, that's what it's called. Force Awakens takes absolutely no risks, right? It is basically a rehashed A New Hope. Kind of like what J.J. Abrams did with Into Darkness, how it kind of just rehashed Wrath of Khan. Yeah, there are some differences, but like, plot-wise, basically the same movie. And then movie number 2, you know, whatever it was, episode 8, they go into all sorts of uncharted waters for Star Wars, right? And it's like, some good, some bad, but it's like, it's at least different. But then episode 9 is J.J. Abrams again. And the end of that movie, it kind of cycled back into what you expect from a Star Wars. So it's like, we're going to introduce all these new ideas, like you said, that they're not going to follow through on. And then like, dude, I guarantee I see a fucking Ewok in episode 9. I just guarantee I see a fucking Ewok.
I think it's not only that it went back at the end. It's that some of the choices were like, okay, you still got to stay consistent with what the film established in the first.
Yeah.
I think that's a problem with having multiple different directors for each one.
Yeah, they have a different vision for each movie.
Well, it's not even that it's a different director for each one. It's like you're giving one guy the first and the last one and just bringing in a new guy for the middle one. It's like that's going to make a really weird continuity.
No, it's not only that. It's not only the direction. It's the fact that they were different writers.
Yeah, that too. I mean, Rian Johnson wrote
Episode 8.
Yeah, Episode 8, yeah.
Whereas George Lucas originally, he, even though he didn't direct, he only directed A New Hope in the original trilogy.
Yeah. No, he had outside direct. The best one, which is Empire Strikes Back, was directed by someone else.
You know, that was his teacher. That was his former teacher.
Was it really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was his former teacher that he had direct that. He had written all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But George Lucas also had collaborators, people telling him, like, by the time he got to the prequels, the problem was nobody was telling him no.
No, it's because at that point he was, like, established, right? So it's like he didn't have people around him who
being like, we do this, maybe we do that. No, it was like, oh, George can do whatever he wants. There was no filmmaking is a collaborative process, no matter
what. Well, the thing with George Lucas is he's such an incredible, like, creative.
Yeah.
It's like, the prequels were really out there. There's a lot of, like, really interesting things, but it's like, if there was someone there to kind of, like, steer him the right way, it probably would have been great.
Yeah. No, well, look at the Clone Wars. They're at Skywalker Ranch. I went to a thing, the one guy visited, our class, the head writer on the Clone Wars. And he said they go up to Skywalker Ranch and George writes with them.
Yeah, I mean, he's an executive collaborative producer on everything.
And the Clone Wars tackles all the same material and the political stuff of the prequel trilogy, but does it in a way that's extremely well done and interesting and good to watch. And it elevates the prequels. Honestly, the prequels should have been what the Clone Wars is.
Yeah, I mean, that, like, lost season
It's a collaborative effort, man. And it's weird that these new Star Wars movies, the middle one seems to be isolated as, like, okay, you didn't collaborate with J.J. Abrams, even though he's running the whole show. Like, They didn't look at that script and go, oh, that kind of clashes with what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, I mean, that last season of
if you're trying to put together a whole trilogy, there has to be a cohesiveness to it. Like George, he wrote all those movies. Like, he didn't just write the one and then move on to the next one. He wrote them all and then made the films.
Yeah, I mean, that last season of Clone Wars is one of the best Star Wars things there is. That one that they didn't finish, the lost seasons, where it's like they go into Order 66 and
they come back.
Yeah.
You know that, right?
Yeah, I did know that. But like, again though, it's like, that's the thing though. They took all these ideas from George Lucas with the prequels, like you said, and they got a team of people in with him to work with him to flesh it out in this series.
And like, it's great.
It's incredible. Cause that's the thing. It's like, say what you will about the prequels. What I like about them that the new movies aren't doing is that they're different. And yes, episode 8 had some like pretty different stuff, but like, you know, episode 9's not going to follow through with that because it's J.J. Abrams, and J.J. Abrams just likes to rehash, you know? But
well,
dude,
it also sticks out like a sore thumb, like in certain elements, like.
Yeah.
I think what the prequels did well,
with the prequels is like, at least they're like creative and different and out there. They're not good. You know, but it's like,
but
at least they take risks.
The overarching story was not executed well.
Yeah.
But the story of it is cool. The fact that Darth Sidious is inside working, he basically started a war to overthrow everything, is like one of the most interesting.
But like, again, because there was no collaboration, it's like Lucas gets super lost in the weeds of like trade deals and like trade federations and the Galactic Bank,
the Clone Wars made those interesting.
Makes it interesting, but in a 2-hour movie, do we want to spend 70 minutes on trade? It's like,
yeah,
that was kind of an insane idea.
Yeah, no, and it's not only that, like, it could be made interesting. Like I said, I watched an episode of Clone Wars that was all about the banking system.
Oh, and it was interesting. I've seen that same one.
Two 30-minute episodes that took up.
But like, Think of the percentage of that though, right? It's like a 30-minute episode across a 6-season show though. Like, I can do that, but if it's like an hour of a 2-hour movie, it's like, alright,
show me some goddamn
lightsabers.
Yeah, but Carson, it had an awesome action sequence.
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying though, right? It's like, that works in that context because it's like, the percentage of the series is so small.
It was almost a standalone. It was a tiny 2-episode arc.
No, I know, but like, still, it's like the whole show. My point is like, the whole Phantom Menace basically feels like trade talk.
Yeah.
Whereas like the show, it's like, it doesn't get lost in the weeds of that. Like, it goes over it and it does a really interesting job of going over it, and it somehow made the Trade Federation interesting, which is like the least interesting thing in Star Wars. You know, but it's like, because it's like, it's kind of isolated. You know, it's like, it's a couple episodes.
No. I think it's the way that they did it. It actually affects the characters.
Well, that too. I mean,
it causes action.
Yeah, well, either way, he's saying in the movies, it's just ridiculous to spend so much time. Like, if you want to like you can't make it like such a big deal in the movies. You have to use it so it's like, okay, we see that this dude is trying to gain more power throughout this republic. It's like, okay, but like, what does he want to do with this? There's a war going on. All this.
Well, episode one starts the war.
They could have made it so much more simple.
That's basically what I'm saying. He gets lost in the weeds of it all.
Episode one's problem is, it tried to set up the war, or the start of it, with also Anakin Skywalker. Episode one should have started with him as a teenage boy, like the Clone Wars. Like Attack of the Clones, I mean. That's where the story should have started. We didn't have to see him as a little boy pod racing. We didn't need to see all that dumb shit with the Gungans.
Yeah. I think you're right. Cause one of the in the second one, so he's already kind of at that point, right? Where he's a teen or whatever, or like he's a little older, but the like.
We need to see more.
Right.
There's no like
Agreed.
Anything
yes.
there.
Excellent point.
Good job. That was great.
Well, you both lagged out.
Yes, we lagged out. Yes. Anyway, let's move on. All right. So, to wrap up the show, second weekend of the PLL coming up. First weekend, we saw Sean, what are you, an archmage?
Yep. The master wizard.
Master wizard. He predicted 2 out of 3 of the games.
KKK thing.
No, that's a grand wizard.
We're gonna have to cut that out.
Don't
take us down these rabbit holes, okay? You know what? Just cause
the Archmage, I am the Archmage.
The host of Drawing a Blank, do not stand behind our intern's words. He is unpaid, and although we cannot fire him, we do not agree with his thoughts and views that he expresses. All right, carry on. Archmage.
Archmage.
So, yeah, so not only that, so you got the most games correct. Pretty much all of my takes were wrong. I called Rambo being good. I called Nardella, being the best face-off guy, and that was about it. Every other take I had was wrong. I said the Redwoods were gonna be a joke. They ended up being probably the best looking team in the entire league. So, let's try this again. Hopefully I'm not as big of a frickin', and also both of our Warriors, Raptors picks were wrong, Sean, too. So I feel like a big time mush right now. Considering that all of my picks have been wrong this whole time.
Give me the matchups.
Okay. I'm gonna give you the matchups real quick. All right. So, I'm gonna run through them, and then we'll go back and focus on one game.
All right, let's do it.
So, first game on Saturday is the Chrome versus the Whip Snakes, followed by the Archers versus the Redwood. And then on Sunday, for the game that's on TV, you won't be surprised by this, it is the Atlas and the Chaos. So, of course, the Atlas have been featured on the actual NBC game, and the two games that are on live stream do not feature Paul Rabil, which I find interesting. A little bit of collusion, if you ask me. But the truth is out there about the PLL, by the way. But anyway, so let's go through these games one at a time, give our picks.
X-Files music plays in the background.
Yeah. We should get a soundboard going at some point once we learn how to actually do this better.
Okay, so,
but anyway, so the first game we're going to talk about is the Chrome versus the Whip Snakes. Let's give our picks, starting with the Archmage.
Whip Snakes, dude.
You're not the Archmage. Shut the fuck up.
No, I'm not.
He disgusts me sometimes.
We really have to look at his contract to see why we haven't been able to fire him.
Anyway, so, you know, I went online to look up a little bit into these Whip Snakes guys, right? Well, guess what got me there?
What got you there?
Google Chrome. It's quite a fast search engine, if you're telling me. And when I looked up Whip Snakes, I was not really impressed with the search results. I didn't see, is a Whip Snake a real animal? I just need to know.
I don't believe so, but I've never researched it.
So I don't see how I can get behind a Whip Snake. Is it a whip? Is it a snake? Is it a snake being used as a whip? Either way, it sounds cheesy, corny, and Chrome is really the only thing that helped me in this situation. So I'm going to have to go with Chrome.
Well, I mean, and to follow your line of logic, I mean, Chrome is literally like a suit of armor, almost like a knight. So, like, would a snake be able to bite through a suit of armor?
You're really lagging out. You sound like Stephen Hawking right now.
What do you mean? I finished
Yeah, he's
like.
Fine on my end, dude. I think it's just you.
We lost Sean.
We didn't lose Sean.
We lost him. Dead.
Still here.
He's still here. I can hear him. Perfectly fine.
I can see everything.
I can hear him now. He's
I can't
gone.
Wait.
His video is gone on me.
It's not. I can't wait to fire you.
I can't see Sean. Sean is gone.
He's not gone. Anyway, all right. I can see him. I'm the one with the video. It's fine. I'm the one who's gonna download it. It's fine. So anyway, I'm gonna go ahead and say Sean is wrong on his take. So I'm gonna pick the Whip Snakes. Obviously, Joe Nardella, as I said, in our first prediction, was the best face-off guy that we saw. He won 20 face-offs. It's absolutely ridiculous, considering everyone else was putting up numbers around like 12 or 13. Matt Rambo is an absolute stud. He's tied for top point scorer in the league right now. I'm taking Whip Snakes. I think it's going to be another good game because I think these teams were built to be all really good games. But I'm going to take the Whip Snakes.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that too, Carson. I agree. I was going to bring up the Rambo thing, like. He was slept on.
Yeah, he was slept on again. You know, he's kind of a guy.
We looked at the Whip Snakes roster before, and we knew that they were going to be really good. I thought they would be second to the Atlas, though. I thought the Atlas were stacked, and I thought the Whip Snakes were the second most stacked.
Yeah, so now I kind of changed my mind and kind of thinking the Redwoods are the stacked team, and then the Whip Snakes I still place at number 2.
Redwoods, because their coach broke it down. He saw the rule changes and built his team for the rule changes.
Yeah. Well, so actually to go into that, so the thing I found out by listening to the game was we kind of got bamboozled on how these teams were made. So these teams were not drafted. They were engineered. So these teams were decided on by a delegation of like 10 people. So it makes it a little hard to root for them, you know, to pick your team, because it's like they were all just sort of like engineered to make even games. It's a little bit of like, I don't know. It feels like kind of like futuristic and dystopian a little bit to me.
Yeah, but we only have, there's only six teams and they're starting out. They have to start with good, tough games.
Yeah, you're right. So anyway, let's go into
the market. But I will say this right now, the Redwoods, the watching them play, dude, those are, that's my team right now. I loved watching them play, man. They're fast. They always go in transition. They don't sub as much, which is why they get so many fast breaks because they don't sub. They've got that game figured out. Their coach said they all have to be in great shape because we're going to do minimal subbing so that we can have the advantage in transition. Yes.
So let's segue then into game number two on Saturday. So we got the Archers and the Redwoods. So we'll start out with our intern, Eddie, because he just gave that long soliloquy about why he likes the Redwoods. So go ahead.
Well, I mean, we saw it. Speed kills in this league.
So
shortened field, transition, speed kills.
Yeah.
You get man up in transition, and you got a bunch of little fast guys running around, like Joey Sankey and Sergio Salcido, like... And you also have Kavanaugh back there too, him and Joey Sankey back at attack. And then you got bombers up top, like Perkovic. Perkovic did not play well in the first game though. I will say that he did not play well, but they have to respect him because he does have a shot.
I think he didn't play well though, just because like his role is to basically be a 2-point shooter and the 2-point shot is like, irrelevant. So it's like kind of like a hard role to put a guy in.
Yeah, well, like, and then you also have Walters, right? Joe Walters?
I think he is. Yeah. Well, then you also have Kyle Harrison who can pull up too from pretty far out.
Yeah, him and Perkovic pull the guys up top, and then you have the fast guys behind the net just flying around.
Yeah. Well, I think as the league goes on though, you're going to see them not respect those outside shooters because nobody lands those shots.
We also saw an insane performance by both goalies. The kid from High Point who plays for the Redwoods, who's he came in, he's a rookie.
Yeah,
because
he's an
their starter was hurt.
Yeah, he's an Annapolis kid. Yeah, he's good. Yeah. So anyway, Sean, I see that you have your seeing goggles on.
Looks like Cyclops.
You do look like Cyclops. Give your pick.
Redwoods.
You're going Redwoods? Any reason why?
So if we're gonna think about this logically, what's an arrow to a redwood tree? Nothing pierces the redwood tree.
All right, big tree guy. All right, so even though I think the Redwoods are like the team, I'm gonna go with the Archers. I think that Kevin Rice is the absolute truth, and I think that the Redwoods are not gonna be prepared for that.
I mean, I'm going with Bran over here. I think he's right. Look at him. He just spoke to us like he was the three-eyed raven.
Sean, can we get a sidebar? Dude, what the fuck are these references? Okay, he goes from X-Men to Game of Thrones. Like, really? Are we fucking kidding?
I fucking hate you.
as the all-knowing speaks, the all-knowing does. Fire.
He does a really Bran impression too, which is why it's funny. You didn't see him when he was that season finale. Sean was pretending to roll around in a wheelchair and be Bran, and it was really funny.
All right. So
let's go to the next pick.
Anyway, so Sunday game. Which I'm just gonna come out and say, I think there's something up with this league. All right. So Paul Rabil gets both games that are on TV. Are we really just gonna? Right. Like that just happens. Like you have a new league and Paul Rabil just gets both games on NBC Sports. Right. Like I'm just gonna believe that's a coincidence. So anyway, we have the Atlas and the Chaos. Now I'm gonna give my pick first. I do not want to root for the Atlas. It's a bunch of Johnny Hopkins guys, and I smoke pot with Johnny Hopkins, so not feeling that pick. I'm going to have to go Chaos. I mean, Andy Towers gave the absolute best huddle breakdown on live television that I've ever seen. Fuck them on three. Never mind, I mean us on three. Absolute fucking alpha male type stuff. You know, gotta go with my chaos. Sean, why don't you go next?
Okay.
Well, Carson, it's funny you say that. Gonna have to go with, Atlas. Chaos. Chaos has no place being on a Sunday. It's a holy day. So we know this chaos that they bring, is just gonna backfire on them. Atlas has the dub on Sunday. And, that's that.
Alright, what's your pick, Eddie?
Alright, I'm done with, the Cyclops guy over here. I'm with you on this. I'm going Chaos. I just don't want to root for the Atlas at this point.
Well, and also, like, I feel like the Atlas was not made with the rules in mind. They don't have two-way players. They don't really seem to mesh. Even though they're all Johns Hopkins guys, they don't seem to, like, mesh well together. I don't know. It feels off, and maybe that'll come together as the league goes on. But, like, there were certain guys, like the Redwoods, immediately had chemistry. And maybe it was – I mean, the Redwoods were a lot of Notre Dame players mixed in with, like, guys who I think can play – Joey Sankey can play with anybody. Sergio Salcedo can play with anybody. You know? So it was like – I feel like
– What about that flip right in front of the net to Joey?
Yeah, it was insane.
Who was that flipped that to him?
I think it was Kavanaugh. I think that was Kavanaugh.
Was it Kavanaugh?
Yeah.
That came around the net and flipped it to Sankey?
It was either Kavanaugh or Sergio Salcedo off of Big Little. But it was one of the small guys, yeah.
No. And then who's the other attackman? He's a pretty good finisher too. He's a young guy.
It's Joe something. I can't remember. We'll have to look this up.
That attack squad really meshes well together. Those guys do good.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of bitched Paul Rabel's team, and Paul Rabel's team is supposed to be like the squad.
Yeah.
This is his league. Like, they gave him all Johns Hopkins players. He's a Johns Hopkins alum. They built this team for him to be successful. So, anytime they lose, it's kind of like
I'm trying to go with chaos.
Yeah. So, all right. So those are our picks. We'll have those up online again, like we did last week. We'll probably try to make our graphics look better because I just took pictures of us off the logo and it looks really stupid. And also I somehow got my picks wrong on Instagram, even though I was the one who made the picks and made the graphics. I somehow messed up I got both of your guys' picks right. But I somehow messed up my own picks and said that the Chaos was going to win when I had the other team winning. I think it was the Whipsnakes.
Dumbass.
Yeah. All right. So ready to call it a day?
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't think we made our outro music.
I got to get out of here.
Boop, 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 boop. Drawing a blank.
I thought we were going to do the Kawhi Pussycat Dolls.
Can we have soundbite? If we ever get outro music, can we have Sean's voice cracking saying drawing a blank, though, please?
I think that needs to be our new lead-in. I think we clap, and then we have Sean drawing a blank.
Drawing a blank. Do it again, Sean.
I can't. We already did the outro. I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for listening.
Oh my God.
Why would you do it when I'm talking? Then we can't use the cut. We're all on the same track. We can't separate the tracks.
Gotcha, gotcha.
So anyway, from all of us here at Drawing a Blank, thank you for listening. Have a good night.
All right.
Bye. All right.
Let's go ahead and end the call. All right, he's gone. Perfect.
Thank God. Oh my.
For shit. I thought he was on to us that time.
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude. Whew.
Brutal. I don't know.
And with all the references, man. I
don't know how we're holding this thing together, Jar.
Dude, he just makes me so mad. Like, can we actually just, like, how hard would it be to make a new logo? I mean, you already made one.
I could do it. I think what I'm gonna do is, if you can give me a picture, just looking like badass, I'll make your level 9 paladin. I'm gonna do one. I'm gonna make me my archmage.
And then we put drawing a blank, and we just don't even put them in it.
Just
two of us. And then we'll do, like, two pictures on the Instagram, so it's, like, one of him just, like, looking sad.
I could do that. I could do a sad him.
Just like a him looking bummed. I actually definitely have a picture of that. I have a picture of him saying I'm dead inside. That I'm definitely, yeah.
You send that to me. Oh my God. I don't know. We're barely keeping this thing alive.
Yeah. I mean, so I can get you a high quality picture of me tomorrow so we can make a paladin. But yeah, dude, just all of his takes, man, are just so bad. Like, dude, it's like, be original, you know? Like, he's just ripping off our picks for the PLO.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, dude, we got a couple of lacrosse guys here, right? A couple of researchers. And then what is he gonna do? He's gonna ride our coattails?
Yeah. Does he actually look into anything? Does he?
Does he even read? Like, we prep this thing, we put in countless hours, and, dude, like, frickin', seriously?
It disgusts me. It disgusts me, Jar.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much sick of his shit. God damn. Like, I don't even want to joke about it in this after hours with Carson and Sean. It's just sort of like, we've gotten to a point where, like, I think changes need to be made. Hold up, you're super frozen.
Yeah, oh, there we are.
There you are. Yeah, I just think we're at a point where, like, changes need to be made, dude. I mean, he's bringing down the show.
I don't know if you heard me, but this is taking a toll on me emotionally, you know?
Dude, like, having him in the room, like, is really stressing me out. It's like...
I know. I feel like I can see him in front of me, but I feel like I have him over my shoulder as well.
I feel his aura. Like, it feels like he's just, like, breathing down my neck. Even though we're doing this on Skype, it feels like he's just, like, leaning in behind me and just breathing around my neck every time I give a take.
I feel... Okay, yeah, no. I have to do a check. It's there. It's still there, you know?
He's still on this chat, even though he's not on... There's something creepy about him, like, inherently creepy about him. Like, dude, did I ever tell you about the time where I go out and visit him in L.A., right? And we're in the hot tub, and these two really good-looking girls get in the hot tub with us, and you know what he starts to talk to them about? Oh,
what's that?
The show Hannibal on NBC. Why, if you're hitting on girls... In a hot tub. Why are you talking to them about a guy who murders and eats people? Why is that your go-to?
You can't
come up with anything else.
I think for next podcast, we're gonna have to add some questions in there every now and then, just to see how he, you know, answers them. You know?
Yeah, like, where were you on the night of July 5th? Do you have anybody to confirm these stories?
Yeah, like, I think we're gonna have to start just kind of throwing some bait out there and just seeing if he bites, you know?
He's a creepy guy. Like, we have to investigate this. For the sake of, like, our society, we have to start, like, getting in on this. Cause, you know, the we can't go to the police. I mean, we have no proof.
We have no proof. Not yet.
Not yet, but it's just a vibe thing. It's just a vibe thing.
Well, I think we'll start this investigation next time.
Yeah, so look out next episode, America, cause We're on to him. We're gonna start asking him questions.
He's not getting away with this.
Maybe if we float out the show Hannibal and we just sort of go like, wasn't that? What'd you think of that scene? And if he gives really creepy answers, like I know he will, you know, something's up.
I think we have it. I think we have what we need.
I think we have it too. All right. So, America. I hope you're ready for this. Just pay attention. We're going to get this son of a bitch.
Drawing a blank. Out.
Godspeed.